Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We've been celebrating Women's History Month here on The Brian Lehrer Show by highlighting women working in what are traditionally seen as male professions. Last week, we covered women in what we call the trades, and before that, we heard from women working in tech. Today, we will add to this with discussion centering women in the field of constitutional law. Of course, the Constitution was written by a group of men. We often refer to them as the Founding Fathers, right? And they had a specific vision of the type of person who would even be considered a citizen of this country or had the right to vote. Eventually, women got the right to vote. And 100 years ago, just after women got the right to vote, a group of women drafted and introduced the Equal Rights Amendment. Well, today the ERA remains unratified, of course, although lawmakers are currently drumming up support for the amendment as women and members of the LGBTQ community face growing discrimination and threats to their rights. With us now on kind of two tracks in this last segment of the show today to talk about the state of the ERA 100 years after its initial introduction, and also to talk about judges and lawyers who interpret the Constitution and also happen to be women, is Elizabeth Wydra, president of the Constitutional Accountability Center. Elizabeth, hi. Welcome back to WNYC. Good to have you again.
Thank you so much. Always good to talk to you.
And listeners, we want your voice if you are a woman working in constitutional law, or because that might be a needle in a haystack, any other form of law for that matter. Why did you decide to become a lawyer, and what is it like to become to be a woman practicing law in 2023? Do you feel that there are still glass ceilings, barriers to be taken seriously? And do you read the Constitution if you are in constitutional law per se, if you're a lawyer or a judge or a retired woman judge, maybe having time at this time of day to listen? Do you think you read the Constitution differently at all based on gender? 212-433-WNYC, women lawyers, 212-433-9692. So, Elizabeth, the Constitution was written entirely by men, as I mentioned in the intro. Do you see that influencing the language of the document at all, beyond the fact that women were not included as voters?
I mean, absolutely. You know, if you think about the way in which women might have written the Constitution differently, you know, obviously thinking about who is included in democracy, who gets to serve on juries, who gets to vote and be voted for. And also, I just want to make sure that we're not defaulting to white women, because certainly if we had the voices of Black women, Indigenous women included in the drafting of the Constitution, you know, a lot of the original sins of our Constitution related to the institution of slavery or the treatment of Native Americans, I think would not have been included in that language. And we also probably would have had protections against equality and liberty limiting state laws included from the beginning, instead of having to wait until after the Civil War to have those things amended into the Constitution. And really that second founding after the Civil War is where we really start to see equality, liberty, equal citizenship in the words of the Constitution. You know, the ideals of the Declaration didn't really get written into the Constitution until after the Civil War and after generations of activists and abolitionists amended the Constitution to make it more in line with those inclusive, equitable ideals of the Declaration of Independence.
Are women mentioned at all in the Constitution explicitly?
So, you know, that's an interesting question. The word male doesn't appear in the Constitution until the 14th Amendment. And even when we talk about the 19th Amendment, which obviously expanded the right to vote to women, it talks about how the right to vote shall not be discriminated against on the basis of sex. And also the Equal Rights Amendment also does not specifically mention the rights of women. It speaks to it says that equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged on account of sex. But I think that one thing about the language of the Constitution, and I thought you asked a really great question in your request to the listeners to call in. Does being a woman make you read the Constitution differently? And obviously, I think, you know, the law is the law. But one thing that I will say about that is that those of us who were excluded from many of the promises of the founding, whether it's people of color, women of all colors, you know, we are keenly aware of the Constitution as an amended document and an amendable document, mm-hmm. because we had to write ourselves into the story of our nation's legal charter. We had to ensure that we staked our claim as we the people in a way that I think others are not always so aware that we have this arc of constitutional progress because of the amendments to the Constitution, because of these generations of activists who said, we are part of we the people, and we are going to write ourselves into the United States Constitution, and in the process, push our country further along this arc of progress.
Let's take a phone call, and I think we have Judith in Fairfield County with a little Women's History Month history from her family that relates to women in the law. Judith, you're on WNYC. Oh, we don't have her line. There we go. Judith, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi. Big fan of yours. Just a quick thing on my mom, who I really admire. She was a single mom of five, a college professor, and at 40 decided to go to law school, one of the first women at Willamette Law School in Oregon. Then she moved to, we moved to Wyoming, and the first thing she did was interview with a very famous Wyoming defense lawyer. And after interviewing with him, he said, "Nice bust." And his partner apologized, and my mom quickly came back and said something like, "I found that men that, you know, talk big don't perform well," but that was shocking. And then my last story was, as soon as the Supreme Court ruled that lawyers could advertise, Mom was the first in her county in Wyoming to advertise. She wanted to let people know there was a new lawyer in town, a woman lawyer in town, and she received so much flack from men lawyers saying, that makes us just like car mechanics or something. But she prevailed, and the local newspaper just ran the story like the 40 years later thing. So,
wow.
That's my story. Proud of my mom.
Did she ever reflect to you on progress over the years?
You know, she did. And she really admired people like, was it Sandra Day O'Connor?
Mm-hmm. Was the first.
She really relished watching women succeed.
Thank you, Judith. Thank you very much for that personal as well as national history. Rachel in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, I'm a huge fan of the show. So I am a public defender in Manhattan. So definitely constitutionally adjacent. I would call myself a constitutional lawyer. My job is in the Constitution. So I love my job, but it definitely comes with challenges, especially being a youngish woman in this profession. I feel as though we have to go the extra mile to be taken seriously by clients and judges alike, which is kind of a tale as old as time. But as for the Constitution itself, it's interesting. I think of it as a shield through which I protect my clients. That's the whole point. But also, it's so deeply flawed. One of your earlier callers said, or something that I was very much thinking that the Constitution wasn't created with me or my clients in mind. My clients are largely Black and Brown indigent individuals in Manhattan, and the Constitution was not created with them in mind. So I want to use it to help them and protect them against the behemoth of the government and the laws, many of which are quite draconian against my clients. But I need it to change because it's not doing a good enough job protecting them.
Rachel, thank you very much. Elizabeth, you want to comment on either of those callers and maybe even tell a little bit of your own story, why you became a woman in constitutional law?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the first caller's mention about Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman Supreme Court justice, you know, is I remember when I was in high school learning about Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the second woman on the Supreme Court. And shout out to my American history teacher in high school, Mrs. Mulheron, who really, you know, did a great job, I think, of teaching us the ways in which women advocates, which Justice Ginsburg was a lawyer making these arguments to the Supreme Court about equality before she became a justice on the bench, writing the opinions, enforcing equality. And that definitely was something that was inspiring to me. You know, I've always been inspired by the promises of the Constitution and been challenged to try to make them more real for all of us in this country in my daily work. And I feel extremely blessed to be a constitutional lawyer. I love my work. I love my colleagues. And I love the progress that I've been able to witness just in my career as a Supreme Court lawyer who specializes in constitutional law. You know, when I used to meet people for the first time, you know, there was a special section of the Supreme Court that is for members of the Supreme Court bar. And it was actually pretty easy. I would sort of joke, but it wasn't really a joke. You know, I'm the lady, you know, because there wouldn't be that many of us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then I'd be, I'm the blonde lady, because there were just, you know, then there were a few more. And now we have women who are represented on the bench. Right now we have four women on the Supreme Court. We have had six women Supreme Court justices in total. We have stellar Supreme Court advocates, including our nation's Solicitor General, Elizabeth Prelogar, who just gives tour de force arguments time after time in the Supreme Court. And that definitely has been a change since I, even just in, you know, my, you know, two decades being a Supreme Court lawyer. And that is really great to see. And I hope that it really inspires the young women out there today, you know, seeing Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson brilliantly talk about the Constitution and legal statutes, you know, to be inspired by that and to be inspired to see themselves in the constitutional story and know that it's a dynamic one that they themselves can shape.
And so to the Equal Rights Amendment, which this is the 100th anniversary of, I believe it was introduced in every session of Congress from 1923 to 1972. Here's a clip from the 1970s, early 70s, I believe, of Gloria Steinem on the Equal Rights Amendment from a newsreel of that era.
After two centuries of a constitution written by, for, and about white males, with people of color and women in various conditions of servitude and childlike status and inequality, the majority of women and men, and white men too, are finally rising up and saying, women of all races are citizens.
So, Elizabeth, in our last 30 seconds, with all the anti-discrimination laws that are in place now, what additionally would the ERA provide?
Well, I think, you know, as we've seen with the overturning of Roe versus Wade in the Supreme Court, gender equality is very much at risk, whether it's reproductive justice issues, pay gap, violence against women, sexual harassment. There are a lot of issues where we still have so far to go. And while I think the existing Constitution and great laws like the Civil Rights Act could be used to protect those rights, the fact is that they're not to a degree that is untenable. And so the ERA, I think, would make a strong statement that women and people of all genders are equal, they have equal citizenship status, and they are deserving of equal dignity, rights, and liberty. And that's important. That's important for our country. It's important for the individuals who, you know, are threatened every day by violence, by inequality.
Elizabeth Weidra, president of the Constitutional Accountability Center, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, for having this great discussion.